All right, time for the Garden Conversation, which is underwritten in part by Jewel Gardens in Skagway in loving memory of Charlotte Jewel and her vision for the gardens as a community space for peace, inspiration, and education. Hello.
Good morning, Joni.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have Kate here this morning with us to talk about gardening.
Kate and Mardell.
And this week we actually have some questions.
Yay.
Yeah. So we'll start out with that and and give our opinions about this. I mean, this is one thing that we'll say again, that some of us who do this show say, I'm not an expert on gardening. And I think it's really important to remember that all we are sharing is our experience and for others to hear about and to know. So anyway, we got a question of, why are my carrots forked? Have you ever had that, Kate?
Oh, yes, definitely have forked carrots.
I think it's funny when they're forked. I mean, it makes it a little more difficult to deal with them, but they're just so doggone cute.
Yeah. The only thing I don't like about it is the dirt that gets stuck between them when they fork around.
They're so hard to clean. That's why I don't like them.
Yeah.
It's just they're a bummer to clean.
But they are fun to pull out and say, oh, look at this.
What
is
this? What does they look like?
Yeah. But so what causes it, Kate? Have you did some research on this?
I did. Well, there's two different kind of forked you can have. You can have just plain forked carrots, and you can have forked and hairy carrots.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the forked and hairy, what I came up with is chances it means that you have some type of bug in your garden that's eating off the little roots as they're starting.
Mm. And that so causes them to start other roots then.
Start more and more and more, and that's why they end up looking actually hairy, not just forked.
Wow, interesting.
So it's either nematodes or leaf hoppers, and so you need to remedy that problem or switch beds where you're growing them for next year.
And one, speaking of hairy, not necessarily forked, although when I did some research, they also said that fork could be caused by excess nitrogen. But there's no question, if you put manure in your bed, you will probably get hairy carrots. And the research that I did said that also can cause forked carrots.
It makes sense because excess growth, because all the nitrogen has to go somewhere.
Yeah. So that might be another explanation if you do have excessively forked carrots. But the age-old question, I mean, if you're only getting a few in your bed, it's probably due to having stones in your bed or having your soil just too compact, not loosening it. Carrots like loose soil. This is one thing that doing a no-till thing, don't think about planting carrots in a bed that you haven't loosened a little bit. You're not going to get nearly as good a result.
And rocks,
yeah.
Even small pieces of wood, I found, will cause the carrots to do a weird shape around whatever it's in the garden. So you need loose.
Yeah, it is. It's a good idea with carrot beds to loosen them and to clean them out as much as you can. And so that's probably the answer to get. So what are you pulling your carrots yet, or what's?
I am thinning carrots. And once again, this is one of the things that can cause forked carrots is overplanting them,
right.
Which mine always
too
end up,
close.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But carrot seeds are so hard to plant. Mm-hmm. They're so tiny. It's so easy to do it. And so this time of year, I'm just pulling the extra ones, the thinning. And we've been living off of those for a month now. And all the other ones I'm leaving in there, let them get nice and big. And those will be the ones that I store for the winter.
And I find that my carrots do not suffer if I do let them grow close at the beginning of the season until they form another carrot. I do the same method as you in that I use my carrots, my thinnings. A lot of people will thin their carrots like really early in the spring, and many people talk about that being such a tedious, horrible job. And my solution to that is I don't do that.
I don't either. I wait
until, unless I see sometimes you get clumps where you have five or six carrots that are right next to each other.
Right.
I'll pull those out because those aren't going to even produce thinnings. But
right.
But in general, I let my carrots be thick until I just did my thinnings last week. Carrots are a little are much slower out the road. I don't even harvest my carrots until October because I want to keep them in the ground.
Yeah, the nice thing about carrots is you really don't have to.
That's right.
They can stay in there for a long time.
Yep.
It's not like other things. When I realized it was going to start raining a few weeks ago, I quickly went out and started pulling my onions because I really didn't want my onions to absorb all that water because mine were about done.
Right,
and
exactly.
So I pulled mine for that reason. carrots don't care.
And the other one that does care, so yes, you can leave your carrots, especially for those of you who have enough that you're going to store them. It's better to leave them in the ground than to pull them out and to let them get warm. Yeah. That will send your carrots to sprout. Believe me, I have done that too many times. And so leave them in the ground as long as you can if you're planning on storing them. Yeah. Even after it freezes, they're not going to, they're not going to freeze.
I've actually had carrots I've pulled out in the springtime, and they'll last through the winter through a freeze.
Actually get sweeter. If you can leave them in the ground till the first frost, you're going to have the sweetest carrots you've ever had. It's like almost anything will get sweeter as the weather gets colder. These cold nights really bring the starches. They turn the starches to sugars is what they do.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I tried the seeds on the strip, and the carrot seeds, and I also tried the pelleted carrot seeds this year just because they are so tiny and
And what was your assessment?
Well, they're both growing.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's good. I did the pellets last year, and I had the worst fertilization I ever had. And so germination. I will never do that again.
Huh,
I don't
interesting.
Know.
Yeah.
I ended up with almost no carrots of those. I had to go out and buy other carrot seeds midway through the season.
Huh. Carrots are one of the most fickle germination things for me. And I never can figure out why I get patches in my row that just don't germinate.
But I think maybe if you leave them in there longer, they eventually will, because that happened to me with the pelleted ones. There were patches where it was just bare earth, and eventually they did fill in.
So. In time enough to actually form carrots?
See, I hope so. I haven't pulled them yet, but, there's a lot of leafy stuff.
Uh-huh. Good, good. So one of the things that you do have to pull, in contrast to carrots, and usually what causes it, this leads us to the next question, is why are my cabbage cracking and what do I do about it? Cabbage is one of those things that I would like to leave in the garden as late as possible, but I've had to pull three of them already because they are cracking. And what causes the cracks is excess water. And we've had a perfect storm this summer in that we had it dry and the gardens were the plants were not having much excess moisture, and then all of a sudden we got a whole bunch of rain.
August 2nd, it started raining.
Oh, is that what day it was?
Yes, it was August 2nd.
Oh, she's just the record keeper.
I know.
I just remember that because that's when I pulled my onions and started getting things out. All the things that are water damaged want them soaking up at the last minute to soak up a whole bunch of water because they'll crack or they won't dry properly.
Yep, and onions definitely will do that. And so what happens with cabbage is that they suck up the water, and then they get this internal pressure and they just can't handle it, and so they crack open. Now you can still use a cabbage. It's not a big deal. But if you leave them out in the garden when they're cracked, I find that oftentimes the next time it rains, they get full of water. The slugs like it. They crawl in there. If you've got slugs, although there's not many slugs this year,
that's really nice. Yeah,
yep. Very nice. Let's enjoy the reprieve because they'll probably be back next year. But so anyway, that's what's going on with your cabbage if they're cracking. And the solution to it is you need to break off some of the roots that are sucking up the moisture. And so this has worked for me, and I've read about it various places. Take your cabbage and kind of twist it. I don't want to pull mine out of the ground because I want to leave it in the garden. But if you twist it so that you break off some of the roots, it will stop.
It can't absorb as much water.
Right, can't absorb as much water.
I've never heard of that before.
So the idea is to do it before they crack. Because once they crack, then you're in the dilemma of, oh, do I leave it in here? But like just yesterday, I found one that was looking like, oh, it's about ready to go. And so I just took it, and it's kind of a trick to twist and pull and not get it out of the ground. You're basically just wanting to break off some of those roots. As I was doing it, I thought, oh, I wonder if I just took a shovel and went down on the side, one side of it. Because, again, you're cutting off some of the roots. So,
yeah.
So anyway, that's what you need to do if it looks like your cabbage are cracking. Or take them into the house and make fermented vegetables, too. That's the other solution. So.
True.
Okay, and then we had one other question that I am growing cucumbers in the same greenhouse that I've used in the past, but they are not putting on fruits this year. Do you have any idea why? And I asked this person, are you using the same cucumber seed? And they said, no, I'm not. I got starts from somebody else. I said, what kind of starts? I don't know. Probably, in this case, it's probably that this person did not get parthenocarpic seeds. Parthenocarpic seeds are ones that do not need to be fertilized. Cucumbers are one of the things that does this. Not all plants, like bananas are one. And anyway, there's a bunch. The one that's relevant here is cucumbers. So if you are going to grow in a greenhouse where you are not going to have pollinators coming in and doing your pollination for you, which is, do you know who are pollinators? I think it's flies that are pollinators.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things, different parts of the season. It depends.
Yeah. So anyway, if your greenhouse is mostly enclosed and not having pollinators, you need to make sure that you get parthenocarpic cucumber seeds, and you will have much better luck.
Or get a paintbrush and be willing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Depends on how much you want.
Yes.
If you really want those cucumbers, get out there with a paintbrush.
Yeah, and that's what this person is going to do. And whether, probably still, it depends upon what our weather does. Probably still can get some cucumbers. I don't know. It's pretty iffy.
Yeah, my outside garden's about done, but the dome, I do have stuff still coming on in there.
But this is in an inside green, or it's in a greenhouse, so yeah. So, okay, one other question I wanted to ask Kate is because she is the grand experimenter, and I always love hearing about her experiments. And so what experiments do you have going this year, and any results to report?
Well, I've just started a new experiment. Okay. I have had an extra building that has a lot of glass on it that I've been kind of playing with, and I decided to turn it into an orchard.
Mm-hmm. And so inside.
Inside. Okay. Yeah, I've seen what Rob Goldberg has done with his orchard, and I do have a peach tree growing in my dome, which I'm now up to 4 peaches this year, which I'm very excited about.
That's a pretty good experiment right there.
It is. It's only, what, third year in the ground I've gotten 4 peaches, so I think by next year will be the bumper crop.
Pretty impressive.
I'm pretty excited about this idea of growing trees indoors and having more fruit available.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been working on this building all year, and I finally got it dug out, and I finally planted 2 pears and 3 plum trees in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the springtime, I'm going to put blackberries in there as well.
Oh, yeah. Cool. You might get blackberries that way.
I might, because it seems like we can raise our zone to about a zone 4 to 5 just by planting in ground or indoors.
Indoors.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and that we can grow many more things. So I keep trying to get more fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I actually grew blackberries.
Did you get berries?
Yeah, it took about 3 years outside. It took about 3 years to get blackberries. You have to keep them away from your raspberries.
Right.
Because they'll pollinate, cross-pollinate.
Something like that. But they weren't sweet, like the good, they're more hard, you know?
Yeah.
And then eventually it died.
Okay. And that's, I did have some blackberries growing outdoors for about 2 years, and we had one of those winters, kind of like last year, where it was a cold winter with very little snow, and that killed them. And so that's why I want to try now indoors where they're not going to have quite as harsh a conditions. Mm-hmm. And I think we can grow blackberries here.
I think you'll be successful.
Yeah, I think indoors. Out the road, there's been a couple people that have tried them, and we've had they've had really good success at getting the bushes, but not the berries.
Yeah,
so probably just, as you experienced, just not enough season to give them sweetness and whatnot.
And that's I'm hoping that indoors there'll be just enough heat, because that seems like that's usually what makes things sweeter, is having that heat, and we also control the water.
Mm-hmm. So this is a building. You have to have a ton of light. So this has to be, like, is it all glass or?
Mostly. It was one of these solariums that had been attached to our house,
but
I had never been able to get the building to stop leaking. And so a few years ago, I just took it off the house and decided to make it into a greenhouse type of building, figuring, okay, it doesn't really matter if it leaks because it just waters the garden for me.
Yeah. So it is all glass or it is all
pretty
light?
Much.
Pretty
There's
much.
There's one solid wall on it. But that the roof and 3 sides are pretty much glass.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So
cool.
We'll have to see, but I'm very excited because I really liked having the peach tree, and I'm excited to have more fruit coming on.
Man, that's incredible. A peach tree, and a successful peach tree in Haines. Yeah,
it's pretty
fun. Yeah. So any other new trials this year that worked for you?
Oh, there's always lots of trials, lots of different varieties, and I need to start making my notes. This is the time of year that all of you should be making notes of what worked for you and what didn't work for you.
It's true.
And start making your list of what are the seeds you want for next year. Because now you'll remember what it is you liked and what you didn't like.
Right. And I keep a list when I empty my seed packets as well of what I need. You know, next year I have to do some pretty big seed orders. I guess what we should do in the spring is think about doing some group orders so that, because when you order, when you order a packet of seeds, there's some things that like carrots, I find that they do not keep in the packets for more than a year or so. You can do 2 years. But so anyway, getting large amounts of seed and keeping
them
for yourself.
And also bushes and trees, anyone who wants to order.
Yeah.
I know this last year we had an order that went in, and we saved so much on the shipping.
Yeah.
It was
and
great.
And we should do that. I am going to be part of that, I think, next year.
Is it time to be planting trees, or is it too late? Or what's the deal on that?
Spring is better, isn't it, Kate?
Spring's better. Mm-hmm. I've tried fall plantings. Our fall's so weird with the rain. It makes things, tricks things into thinking it's springtime, and I think it kills things off. I try to wait till spring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my one plant variety this year that I got that I like, that was an experiment, and I just picked it up off the seed rack, I think maybe at Haynes Home. I can't remember if it was there or in Juneau. Scarlet flax is a flower that has turned out beautiful. It's bright red, and it's just been showy for a long time.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, that was a fun experiment that you never know when you just pick a seed packet up off of these racks, because half of the seeds are not geared for growing.
No, they're not. They're made for the northwest area, yeah. And that does not mean us.
Yeah. All right. That's all of our time, Joni's telling us.
Well, thank you so much. We have Kate and Mardell here with the Garden Conversation. Okay. You guys are so informative. I just love this section of the show. Thank you so
Joni.
Much. Have a great day.
You.